Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moriah Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today, I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is a judge, the king, the lawgiver, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today I'm honored to represent the Almighty again on Truth or Traditions. We're going to talk about a couple of interesting subjects today. I have a guest that's going to be with me, a young fine minister out of Cincinnati, a Christian minister by the name of James G. Abram. He also has a talk show that he hosts on WAIF 83.3 FM every Wednesday, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. The name of his show is called Kingdom Building. He's a minister at the House of Compassion Ministries. He's going to be my guest today and perhaps also next week if I'm blessed enough. But today we're going to talk to him, and we're also going to discuss this recent verdict by the judge in Cincinnati, the common plea judge, Nato, and see if you agreed with the verdict that he made pertaining to the man that murdered General Kabaka Apa. We want to see your thoughts. But before we begin this truly highly provocative and controversial issue today, we're going to again bring you another song from the 12 tribes, one of their newer songs by the 12 tribes entitled To My Yah.
To my Yah, who created the heavens and the earth, who created me to spit this fire. So all praises go to you, Yah. And this song for you. To my Yah, I know I'm not able to come to you face to face like Moses. I don't want to be a thorn in your saddle, spread up like thistles, but to bud up like roses. I know it was you, Yah, who put us in slavery to get us back in focus. You enslaved us by Moses, you cursed with rats and roses to live with. Pressures of being a black man in America to deal with. And you revealed it in Deuteronomy 28, so now we living it. Single moms, a household alone with no father raising children. A lot of parents don't crap, little Johnny got to eat, so now he's stealing. Black come from trees to the back, y'all now we killing. And a white man and his family eating good from the ground that we was tilling. Now understand, y'all, why you want poured out your fury. You said the dollar tree was the crime, you'll be giving another God your glory. You said if we return to you, y'all, you will return to us in a hurry. You said you give us new heart and spirit because the other one is so dirty. Selah, let us become that nation who is worthy. Please, y'all, rid me of iniquity, make me righteous and gird me. Sing us a rock.
I'm headed east, I'm hoping that you're sending me singing the rock.
This is to my
This is to my God, Yahweh Elohim.
To my God, I come to. It's your humble servant, you kill, and I'm struggling to become one with you. I know you gave us your lives and what your man shall live, y'all. You gave us statutes and judgment, gave to no other nation but Israel, y'all. You said we would enter to the land with supplications and with weeping, cause we've been creeping in the remnants you live, and the rest of us with a head eternal sleeping. There's no sacred besides you, y'all. You spread on the earth like yourself, proving that there's no trinity, that it's only one, y'all, and none else. And I'm giving wisdom to the simple, and y'all, you put the fear in kings, and you let us up out of Egypt, y'all. You gave Daniel understanding to interpret dreams, and you get an earth over to the hands of the wicked to lead, who will feed for greed, and the end who be licking the dust off our feet, six days and weeks of peace. All because they touched the apple, your eyes, thus, which is us. No more lies, black people in America. We're that nation who've been raised up, see ya. Now we're that nation who've been caged up, see ya. No price ever died for our sin, blacks, we still gotta pay up, niggas around.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Maria Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring you truth or tradition. Before we begin our wonderful show today, we will allow our visitor, Minister James G. Abrams, to introduce himself to you. Shalom, brother. How you doing?
Assalamu alaikum.
Shalom, shalom.
Brother, I'm doing great. The Most High is alive. I'm glad to have the opportunity to be able to share the gospel, the truth, or tradition. I'm a man of short words. I just reiterated what has already been said. I do not write scripture. I just quote and repeat scripture, what has already been said, what God has, the Most High has placed on my heart for today is two particular verses. I come in the name of love. I come in the name of peace. That's the only thing that I know. Greater Cincinnati, I have not always been on the Most High side, but today I stand bold for him. The two particular chapters, scriptures that I'm going to come from is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Paul writes a bold letter to the Corinthians. I'm reading either the New International Version. I did not write this text. The Apostle Paul wrote it. So you'd have to debate him. And it reads, "If I speak in the tongues of man and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and of all knowledge, and I have not faith that I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil. Let me repeat that again. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always persevere. Love never fails. But where there are prophecy, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappear. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see, but in poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know the full, fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Once again, that came out of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I really don't think I need to expound on that. It really, scripture speaks for itself. The second piece of chapter that I would like to go into would be the book of Galatians. Galatians 5, beginning at 22nd verse. This is another letter that the Apostle Paul writes. It deals with some characteristics of the Most High.
What chapter and verse is that, sir?
Okay, Galatians 5, beginning at the 22nd chapter. These are some characteristics.
22nd verse, you mean?
Yeah, 22nd verse. Fifth chapter, 22nd verse. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Once again, that comes from the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse.
All right. Before we get in our lesson, I must, I question you on a couple of these things that seemed a little confusing to me. You start with 1 Corinthians 13. In one verse, you said, love has no memory. You remember stating that? Well, if love has no memory, then, of course, when a Christian say God is love, then they must be talking about a different type of love. For certain, the Creator has a memory. And the Creator said he's going to require what a man do and what a man does and hold that against that individual. And I think Christ is saying the same thing, isn't he? Because Christ himself said you must keep the law of the Father. But we'll get into that during our course of our conversation, because we're dealing with love and we're dealing with hate. We're dealing with envy. We're dealing with murder, and we're dealing with the law. I'd like to read a couple things and I'd like you all to be aware of a couple of things that's happening. This week, on August the 24th, a brother in Cincinnati by the name of General Kabaka Abba, he was shot down from City Hall, where he just came out of. Just steps. And the man that killed General Kabaka Abba was charged with voluntary manslaughter. That was even a lesser charge than the prosecutor claimed that he wanted. Hampton County Common Plea Judge Norbert Nadel, who heard the case without a jury, said that there was not enough evidence to support the more serious charge of aggravated murder against Howard Beatty. He said there was not enough evidence. For the day, we're going to call upon our listening audience. We know you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And we want you all to give your verdict. Because being truthful, the Almighty never gave the law to the Gentiles. He never gave the Gentiles the ability to teach the law because they never had his law. According to the book of Psalms 147, the 19th and 20th verse, it said he showed his word unto Jacob, statutes and judgments unto Israel. It says he has not dealt so with any other nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known them. So the Almighty says that the wicked, even the tender mercies of the wicked, are cruel. And we want to know how the people in Cincinnati feel, since this judge, Nadel, represents the city of Cincinnati. Are all the judges and politicians that blind? We're going to let you hear the case yourself. And I don't think you have to hear the whole case to determine whether this man should have been charged with voluntary manslaughter or should he have been charged with first-degree murder. First of all, we found out that the Judge Nadel said the evidence that showed that Howard Beatty was provoked by General Kabaka Abba into a fit of rage. He said he was just in a fit of rage. We wonder how he could be in a fit of rage when General Kabaka had been in the courthouse over an hour. And this Howard Beatty was somewhere else, waiting for him, stalking him, planning to execute him when he come out. According to the evidence, he had covered his license plate so it could not be recognized, had three weapons in the car, and he had waited for General Kabaka to come and sit in the car when he could least defend himself and then shoot him down as he laughed at him. According to his own admission, he laughed at him. And that was played on one of the radio stations, and this is what his brother said. Well, let's see what voluntary manslaughter and how it's defined under this man's law. And let's see if it's consistent with the law of the Most High. Voluntary manslaughter, as defined in the book called Criminal Law Today, says that voluntary manslaughter is the unlawful killing of a human being without malice. He had malice. He had so much malice that General Kabaka Abba had to get a restraining order against him because he said he had pulled a gun once on him before and threatened to kill him. So we can't say that it was not without malice, but let's read the whole thing. Voluntary manslaughter is defined in the criminal law today that says voluntary manslaughter is the unlawful killing of a human being without malice, which is done intentionally upon a sudden quarrel in the heat of passion. That's what voluntary manslaughter is. such as two people get in a bar and they're drinking, and they get to fussing because somebody stepped on a shoe, and in the heat of passion, he pulls out a gun and shoot them. But he had not planned, no hatred, no animosity, no intent before. That's voluntary manslaughter. Also, a killing committed without lawful justification. That's involuntary manslaughter, a killing committed without lawful justification. And you know this man had no lawful justification to go taking a person's life. If he did, then none of us are safe in Cincinnati. If all a person has to do is get angry with you, and then that's a lawful enough reason for him to take your life, then none of us are safe in this Gentile system, if that's how his law is. It said, also a killing committed without lawful justification, wherein the defendant acted under a sudden and intense passion resulting from adequate provocation. Well, this is not no sudden and no intense passion, because General Cabazet and Satan in the courthouse just waiting, dealing with the system, defending the poor, defending the followers, pleading the cause of the willless, as he do every week in a courthouse. And that's why he was so hated by the fathers of Cincinnati, because he was showing what a hypocritical nation we live in and what a hypocritical racist city Cincinnati is. In simple words, voluntary manslaughter is when someone kills another person in a sudden rage from a situation that made the killer angry and upset. Also, the killing was not planned. Well, this is not so, again, in General Kabaka Alba's case, because it was planned. It said, also, the killing was not planned and was not done because the person was evil or had an evil intent. This man was evil. He had an evil intent, and it was planned. It was even told to a police cell, we're not going to press charges because we'll take care of this ourselves. Well, NATO and the prosecutor never did bring and call that policeman up to the jury stand, because we of the Israelite community know that the verdict has already been determined before there was a trial. Well, let's read what first-degree murder is. What is first-degree murder? And see if this situation is more applicable to the situation. In most states, first-degree murder is defined as an unlawful killing that is both willing, willful, and premeditated, meaning it was committed after planning or lying in wait for the victim. Right here, we see that he planned it. If he planned it, didn't plan it, he wouldn't have had a gun on. He wouldn't have had guns loaded in a trunk. He wouldn't have been waiting for General Kabaka to come out of the courthouse. He wouldn't have waited until he got in his car and then pulled up and ran and start shooting him 6 times in the span of 10 seconds. We see this is not applicable to that at all. He did lay in wait for the victim. And then it says, for example, Don come home to find his wife in bed with Victor. 3 days later, and Don waits behind a tree where near Victor's front door, and then shoot him and kills him. That's first degree murder. Why is that called first degree murder? Because he planned, he waited, he had malice. He was evil, and he had a motive, and he waited and stalked and shot the man. That's called first-degree murder, Mr. Judge Nadel. Most states also adhere to a lesser concept known as felony murder. The felony murder rule, under which a person commits first-degree murder and any death as accidental. Such if he's robbing a store, and in the process of robbing a store, he shoots a man. That's called felony murder rule. But we see this situation as first degree. And I don't see how anybody with good sense could see it otherwise. Nothing else, the person, the judge, is a very evil, wicked man. And if so, he's making the whole city of Cincinnati look bad. Here's a man gunned down right there in front of City Hall, where they used to hang black men at before. Is this why it was allowed to be done? Because this is the same City Hall that General Kabaka Apa has demonstrated against every Wednesday for years, where he condemned the wickedness that went on in City Hall? Is this why that you all hate him? Because he caused Cincinnati to lose millions of dollars in the boycotts that was held against the city? Is this why the police hated him? Because he boycotted even against the chief of the police. Went right to his house and boycotted and demonstrated in front of his house. Is this why Howard Beatty turned himself into the chief of the police? Not a captain, not the sergeant, but the chief of police. Whether there was there already a connection? Is that why he was always down the restaurant? And is that why when he turned himself in, it wasn't to just any police, but it was to the chief? Was a statement being made when the prosecutor and the judge agreed that they wouldn't have no jury? Because it's easier to buy off one man than it is 12. Is this why? We want you to make the decision here today. We want you to make the determination whether this man should have been charged with voluntary manslaughter or should he have been charged with first-degree murder. We want your righteousness, black man, to shine forth because we know this heathen has no righteousness. Even President Clinton the other day, I was listening to him on television, and he said the American people would rather be, how did he say it? He said the American people would rather be wrong and strong than to be weak and right. Can I? Paid attention. What is he saying? Don't mind if you're wrong, just so you're strong enough to back up what you do. And America would rather be wrong and strong than be white, right, and weak. The American Indians were weak, was right, but they was weak. We're right in many instances, but we're weak. Is that how the United States imposed their will? I want the people of Cincinnati to know that I know that the white man thinks altogether different from black people altogether. How does a white man think? A white man, he allows the end to justify the means. In other words, if he has succeeded in something, then what he did was right. If they're able to take America, become the strongest nation in the world, then all the slavery that they committed, all the babies that they killed, all the laws that they broke, all the treaties that they broke, all the nations of Indians that they slaughtered, all of the unrighteousness that they committed is justifiable because look what it resulted in. Yes, they go by law. The end justify the mean. Well, the black man's law is the means justify the end. In other words, we have to be right. We don't care if the United States is winning in Iraq or not. We think it's wrong if they're winning. We think it's wrong if they're losing, not the white folks. If the United States start winning the war in Iraq today and killed the little fella, Hassan, who they're looking for, and then America would automatically, the ratings would go up with Bush overnight. They'd love him. Why? Because they're winning. But at the same time, if he lose, the more he lose, the more his polls go down. The more his rating go down. The more his popularity would suffer as a result. They define what's right and wrong by if they win or lose. If they're winning, it's right. If they're losing, what we did was wrong. We don't see it that way. We see that you're very wicked. The decision of your judge the other day is an indictment against the whole city of Cincinnati, because I looked through the papers. I wanted to see how the average white man accepted what this man did when it came to murdering a black man in cold blood. I looked at the editorials. I didn't see an outcry in Cincinnati. I didn't see them talking about how evil and perverse that judgment was. But had it been a black man that killed a white man, had it been a black man that killed a civil rights activist such as McCracken and shot him 6 times in his car and murdered him, would that have been voluntary manslaughter? No. You white folks know it. And I want all you white folks to know that Alicia Israel is aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And this man you call Judge Nadel is making, it's showing the people what I've been teaching and what the Almighty has been saying for years is totally correct. Totally correct. And that is only the most evil and wicked people will be in these positions of power. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. We go to the book of Malachi. Now let's go to Michael. Let's start with the book of Michael. Not Malachi, but the book of Michael. Let's look at the book of Michael. And let's look around the third chapter and see what we find in the third chapter of Michael. It says in Michael, the third chapter, the 11th verse, he said, the heads, they have judged for reward. Yes, the judge was paid off. I know it if you don't. And most whites know how this thing works. You always want a good lawyer because a lawyer is able to mingle with the judge, and they're generally in the same political arena together. They sleep together. They do favors with each other and for another. And Cincinnati is typically a German Catholic Republican city. And many blacks that want to get ahead become Republicans. They become Republicans to get ahead in this city. Even if they have to sleep with wicked people, they will do this and sell their soul out just to get ahead. Again, they're selling themselves out for the 30 pieces of silver. Notice what it said. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. The priests thereof teach for hire. And mostly all your ministers in each church, you hire them. They're called hirelings. If you quit paying them, you quit seeing them. They're only there because you support them. They're hirelings. Even the Christ in the New Testament called them hirelings. He said, the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon Yahweh and say, is not Yahweh amongst us? None evil can come upon us? Well, we want you to know that these heads that judge for reward are very wicked. The scriptures condemn them all through the Holy Scriptures. We look in the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs, the 29th chapter of Proverbs. And it tells us in the second and third verse. Notice the second verse. It said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But they're not rejoicing now, because a righteous man will do what's right, and the whole city will rejoice. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bad rule, the people mourn. And it's truly a very sad day in Cincinnati that you Gentiles was able to show your nakedness to one of your judges that represent you. If this city of Cincinnati was worth a grain of salt, this man would be impeached and kicked out of office. Every righteous judge would condemn this man and condemn the verdict. But you can't condemn him because he might point his finger at you. What did the Creator say? Let's look at a couple of his laws in the Torah. According to the book of Genesis, we're going to go to Genesis, the 9th chapter. We're going to start reading at the 6th verse, the 9th chapter of Genesis, the 6th verse. It says,
Whoso sheddeth man's blood,
whoso sheddeth man's blood,
by man shall his blood be shed.
By man shall his blood be shed.
For in the image of Elohim made he man.
So the scriptures let us know that man that sheds blood, his blood should be shed by man. And we get more specific in what murder is once we go to the book of Exodus. The 21st chapter. The 21st chapter of Exodus. It tells us in the 12th verse.
He that smiteth a man,
he that smiteth a man,
so that he die, shall be surely put to death.
Not he that smiteth righteous man, but he that smiteth a man that he die, he should surely be put to death. Then it tells you what murder is.
And if a man lie not in wait,
but if a man lay not in wait,
but Elohim deliver him into his hand, then I will point thee a place whither he shall flee.
In other words, if you kill a man that murdered a man, the Almighty had cities of refuge where a man can flee at because he might have near kin that might be hot-blooded and very angry and wanted to do something to him. So with Israel, we had cities of refuge. But
if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor, to slay him with guile.
In other words, to slay him because he didn't like him. Not to slay him because he was wicked. Not to slay him because he had murdered someone, but he came to slay him with guile. Thou shalt take him from my altar that he may die. So we see the Almighty condemns that. And we further go quickly to the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. And then we start reading at the 17th verse.
And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death.
All right. One last verse I want to go to you to define what murder is. And we go to Numbers, the 35th chapter. The Creator deals with explicitly all the things that would define what a murderer is. The 35th chapter of Numbers, and we're going to start reading at the 9th verse.
And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unaware.
And what is he talking about? Let's expedite everything, but going right to the 16th verse.
And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death.
It said the murderer shall surely be put to death.
Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die. He is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred,
but if he thrust him of hatred, and hurled in him by lying in wait that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smite him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meets him.
But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity,
without enmity,
or have cast upon him anything without laying a weight.
And just threw a horseshoe in the air, and it went and hit somebody in the head accidentally. That's what you call manslaughter. Where he went hunting and shot at a deer and didn't see the man behind him, and it killed him. That's just manslaughter. Notice what the Creator says.
Or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge unto the death of the high priest.
All right, I just wanted you to see the difference according to the word of the Most High as he defined a murderer. Would you like to comment on that, Brother Abrams? According to the New Testament, what do you think about being a disciple of Christ? What is your position on murder?
My position on murder is I don't agree with it, whether it's in the first degree or involuntary manslaughter. Okay, I don't believe, I don't have murder in my heart. I come in the name of love. We all have the tendency to have evil in us. Evil is present in us, and it's all is whatever we defeat the spirit with, that's what's going to come out. I'm going to go ahead. I'm reading out of the New International Version. I'm going to go ahead and put some light to this thing coming out of the book of Luke, beginning at the sixth chapter, beginning at the 27th verse. Let me go ahead and put this for you in a nutshell, Greater Cincinnati, what we're dealing with here with the thing of Kabaka. There's nothing new underneath the sun, okay? This has happened before, so there's nothing new underneath the sun. If we're looking at justice from man, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get justice from man. Jesus knew that. That's the reason why he gave us this particular chapter in the book of Luke. Okay, I'm not going to dwell on whether he should have been tried in first degree or involuntary manslaughter. I'm going to put it to you, murder, rather than first degree manslaughter. I don't agree with murder. I come in love. The book of Luke, beginning at the 6th chapter, the 29th verse, it says, but I tell you.
The 6th chapter, the what verse?
The 6th chapter, beginning at the 27th verse.
Okay.
It says, love for your enemies. It says, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn him to the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if everyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that too. And if you leave those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, accepting to be repaid in full. But now, hear this, Greater Cincinnati. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lead them to without expecting to give anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind, and to the ungrateful and wicked. be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. Greater Cincinnati, whether we agree with the verdict that the judge gave, now do we believe Satan is in control, or do we believe the Most High is in control? I'm going to say the Most High is in control. The Most High appoints all authority. Now, we may not agree with his authority, but he appoints all authority. The Most High slumber, nor he sleeps. Greater Cincinnati, if we're looking for man to give us peace, joy, and happiness, you won't get it. Those are things that come for internal. There's nothing new underneath the sun. Let me give you a little example. Back in 65, Jimmie Lee Jackson.
Well, let me talk to you a little bit before you go too far. You're using Christ and saying that we should love our enemies as ourselves.
I said the Most High.
Well, the Most High never said love your enemies. The Most High taught his people to fight back against his enemies. The Most High gave Samson the strength to slay his enemies.
Okay.
According to the scriptures, it was the same Most High Yahweh that gave David the strength to slay Goliath. It was the same Most High that gave the children of Israel the strength to fight their enemies in the land of Canaan. So the Most High never told his people to love their enemies, not the Most High. Okay. And we have to understand two things. All truths are consistent with universal laws. Now, universal law would tell us if the rabbit loved the fox, there wouldn't be no rabbits today, I don't think. Do you? And I think if you loved your enemies, and if all of our people loved them that despitefully use them, that you and I would be in this radio station talking today. You and I are results, and you and I are the fruits of our foreparents that labored and fought and persevered and demonstrated and prayed to the Most High that we can live a better life. But according to what you're saying, you're never to fight back. You had Thurgood Marshall that fought in the courthouses for laws to enable us to be able to walk within this society in a state of decency. But if we did what Christ suggested in love, or should I say what they have Christ suggesting, because he said, you just read where it says, if your enemy take you to the court and sue you at the law and take away your coat, give him your cloak also. If your enemy compare you to walk with him 1 mile, walk with him 2. Love them that despitefully use you and persecute you. If this is so, then the Almighty would not take vengeance on them that oppress the righteous, would he?
Yeah, he said revenge is mine.
But is Yah a God of love?
The Most Jesus Christ.
But does his Father Yahweh love everybody?
Jesus Christ, I can't speak on.
You can't speak on.
I can't. I'm reading. Let me repeat that. I'm coming from the New International Version.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, now according to the book of Luke, the sixth chapter, the 35th verse, it says, "But love your enemies." Now this is, I didn't write this. This is coming out of the New International Version.
Yes, I understand.
This is the book of Luke. The 35th verse, sixth chapter, it says, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High."
Well, let me ask you this. Is Revelation, is that the words of Christ also? Is that the said revelation of the Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass when he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John? Do you regard the book of Revelation as the word of Christ as well?
I believe, yes, from Genesis.
Well, if you do,
from
I
Genesis
want you to...
through Revelation, I believe that's God's word.
Well, if that's God's word, then who should we obey, God or Christ?
They're one.
They're one?
They're one.
If they're one, you're saying they're the same person?
Jesus is the Son of God through flesh. They're one.
But I'm asking you, are they one in spirit, or are they just one, period?
They're one in spirit.
Oh, but they're not the same.
They're one. They're one.
They're one. Well, they're if one. They're one, if they're one, then the Creator says, or in the book of Revelation, I want you to help me with this. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, there's something that seems to be somewhat of a contradiction. First, I want to start with, we're going to come back to our listening audience, and we want you all to join in on this discussion. And we want you to give your opinion about, should this man have been charged with voluntary manslaughter or first-degree murder, as you listen to our discussion today. But we're going to come right back, and we're going to deal with this right after the news. So stay with us for Truth or Tradition. Thank you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elish Israel from the House of Israel will bring you Truth or Traditions. Today I'm here with my guest, Minister James G. Abrams, and he's discussing with me the issue of murder. And we were beginning to get in some theological discussion pertaining to Christ as being the Most High as well. But right now we're going to go to some of our callers as we still pursue this conversation. Right now we're going to June. June.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Sister June?
Fine. And good evening to your guests. I want to say that this verdict was totally unjust, insane, outrageous, but predictable in Hamilton County. We know that Cincinnati and Hamilton County has the most unjust, corrupt legal system in America. So we cannot be surprised at such a verdict. We know that Kabaka Abba and his life fought for justice. And if there's a heaven above, he knew that he would not get a just verdict. If there's a heaven above, he knows that that this system here would not give him any different than what he fought for in his last days and for years in Cincinnati. I am.
So you agree that he should have been charged with first degree murder? Huh?
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. It was cold blooded murder. It was predetermined based on his calculation of his. How he planned the murder. He sought to kill that man. He waited because he knew his pattern, his activities. He knew that he goes down to City Hall on a regular basis. Everyone knows that Kabaka would come over the air and even speak, you know, after leaving City Hall, and had made a vow to continue to go to City Hall as he did week after week, fighting against his corrupt government. And so he knew where to find him. He waited for him and killed him in cold blood. I'm at Paul at anyone who felt that this was a fair and just decision. Everyone knows that it wasn't. I believe that this was a setup.
Everyone righteous knew it was unfair. The wicked thought it was just.
Yeah, I believe this was pre-planned. I believe that Ken Lawson knew that if he went before and waived the jury trial, that he could go in for the fix. I believe this was a fixed decision.
So you believe that the lawyer knew that he was already prearranged,
I mean,
and that's why the lawyer went in for the fix?
Yeah, I believe that it was all prearranged. That's why he waived that jury trial. Ken has been doing, you know, working for the Republican Party, and they owed him one. They owed him.
The lawyer had been working close to get Dieters elected, and with the Republican Party, so
working for Dieters.
So the lawyer knew what was going on. So the lawyer.
I believe this was all pre-planned.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And I would say that we should not give up this fight. I believe we have lost such a voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's such a void now. It seems like we've gone right back to where we were before 2000. Mm-hmm. And people have just, it seems like they've lost the fight. They've lost the courage to stand up against this unjust system. But in the name of Kabaka Abba, in the name of Martin Luther King, in the name of Malcolm X, in a name for anyone that has been fighting for justice, we must not give up the fight. We cannot allow this system in this city to continue to go on. I have a child, and I have a grandchild that's on the way. We must live and fight, if nothing more. If we're not going to think about ourselves, we must think about this next generation. We cannot allow, because they feel like when they took away Kabaka, they took away our zest for continuing the fight. And I'm calling on every freedom fighter, because I've been out there on the streets. I have fought for many, many causes. I ask that we come and collectively put our differences aside, come back, and let this system in this city, let them know that we are not going to roll over, that we will continue to fight, and we will somehow organize ourselves and can continue to fight against the county, the city, and whomever else that's oppressing our people, because we are still an oppressed people. In the name of Kabaka Abba, we must not give up the fight. And thank you for allowing us to come on your radio station.
All right.
And allowing us to speak as we are able to speak so openly and honestly about what we feel.
All right.
And I ask that Kabaka rest in peace. And thank you so much.
Yes, sir, and welcome. Hallelujah. And I agree with you, sister. You spoke words of wisdom. Right now, we're going to go to another caller, Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright.
Words of wisdom. Right now, we're going to go to another caller, Mr. Wright.
How you doing, my reverend?
I'm not reverend, but I'm Alicia.
Okay, Alicia. See,
yeah, turn down your radio. I'm getting a turbo backlash.
Okay.
How's that? Go ahead. That's
okay,
fine.
Listen. You might remember me from my brother. His name is Major Wright.
Yes, I remember. Yeah,
absolutely.
Major Wright. Yes.
Yes, and that was my oldest brother.
Yes.
And I'm the youngest of the family of nine, right?
All right.
But it's a scripture, and I, you know, I'm still being schooled, but, and it's 1 through 9, and it's ECCLESIASTES.
ECC what?
L-E-S.
L-E-S.
I-A-S-T-E-S.
Oh, you're talking about the book of Ecclesiastes.
Okay. Listen, I hear somebody preaching the word of the Lord, the Most High. I want them to say that in 3:15 also, 1 through 9 and 3:15.
1 through 9 and 3:15. Yeah, I'm familiar with both of them.
Okay. If you could do that for me. And,
yes.
And then after that is read, because I'm really enjoying your show, I would like to call back, and if I can get in, I shall.
And I notice your brother Wright was a good brother, and your brother died. He was murdered also.
Right,
so
absolutely.
I know he was murdered
and
no justice was done to him because he also.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, those scriptures would tell you how it helps my family to cope with it, you know.
All right,
because.
Right.
I mean, all those who become black people friend, death is always the way it ends. It ain't got to be white killed them, black killed them. It has nothing to do with that. It's just death. And he takes those. He calls those. He makes us born. He calls those. So we need to look toward the scriptures, true scripture. Listen, he looks more like them than he looks like us, but he is us when they look at him.
Who is us?
Being as a black person, you know, being...
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think that everything is black that look black. See, a lot of us got to... Listen,
absolutely.
Son. Wait, you're interrupting me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you. A lot of us have a duck mentality, and we seem to think that everything that looks like a duck is a duck. That's when a farmer can take a wooden duck and put him in the water, and when the real duck fly down by him, he gets killed because the fool didn't know that everything that looked like him wasn't him. And a lot of us got a duck mentality. We think that everything that look black is black, and that's not so. You have people that look black, but they're not black. And they're not righteous. Not saying that all black people are righteous. But they're not.
All people are not righteous.
Right. That
and
is
coming in nationality.
Yeah.
I mean, I've did the work.
But I'll read this for you, and then we can go on. But I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And I have much love for you and yours.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ecclesiastes 1 and 9.
The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun.
And then 3:15 says, same thing, that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and Elohim requires that which is past. There's nothing new under the sun. And you've been having the wicked murder the righteous ever since Cain and Abel. And until the Creator set up his kingdom, it always will be. But I just wanted you all to know that our Creator condemns murder. My friend Abrams, he seems to think that Christ and the Most High is the same person, but he's saying that Christ says love everybody. But the Most High did not say to love everyone. The Most High did not love everyone. According to the book of Malachi, the first chapter, the first and second verse, it said the Creator hated Esau, and it said the Creator hated evil. So the Creator hated a lot of people. So if he was all love, then how could he love everyone? If you just love and you don't have nothing but love, then you really don't love nobody, because you're too busy loving everybody. And if you love everybody, you really can't love nobody. You don't know if you do love until you hate. That's how I do know that I love. I'd hate something to happen to a little girl. That's the reason I know I love little babies. Because I would hate for a little baby to be raped. I would hate for a little baby to be murdered and butchered. I would hate that. And I would hate the people that do that. That's how I know that I hate. That's the reason I know that I love. But if I say I love little girls and little fellas and love people, but I love everybody that misuses them, I love people that murders them, I love people that rape people, then how can I really have some love for that person? You don't know love until you know hate, because hate is the opposite of love. You know no perfection until you have seen imperfection. You cannot have perfection without imperfection, and you cannot have love without hate, and you cannot have something without having nothing. And a lot of my Christian friends, they believe that you're just supposed to love everyone, and if you're supposed to love everyone, then why did Christ, why in the book of Revelation is it written that the saints of the Most High are crying from the grave for their blood to be avenged by them that dwell on the face of the earth? I'm going to read a couple of things, and I'm going to ask you for your opinion on that. First thing is in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter. I'm going to ask you about this, Mr. Abrams. The 6th chapter, the 9th to the 11th verse. Now notice what it says.
And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice.
They cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Yah, holy and true,
dost thou not judge and avenge our blood?
Why you're not judging and avenge our blood?
On them that dwell on the earth.
On the people that dwell on the earth.
And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them.
It was said unto them.
That they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
All right, and then we go to the 13th chapter of Revelation. And in the 13th chapter, let's notice what it says in the 9th and 10th verse.
If any man have an ear,
if any man has an ear,
let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity,
he that leads into captivity,
shall go into captivity,
shall go into captivity.
He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword.
Right here, Brother Abrams right here said the people that kill with the sword must be killed with the sword. Now this don't sound like you're just loving everybody here. It doesn't sound like even the Christ in the New Testament loved everyone according to the book of Revelation. In your opinion, what would you say about that?
Well, the Book of Revelation, it speaks for itself. I don't try to interpret the Book of Revelation. First of all, it's too broad for my mind to even conceive. As far as murder, I don't. You know, this is personally myself. There's nothing new underneath the sun. You live by the sword. You die. By the sword. That's the reason why I try to come in love.
Martin Luther King lived by the sword?
Martin Luther King was a...
Now I asked you, did he live by the sword?
Martin Luther King lived, he stood for truth.
So he didn't live by the sword, did he?
No, he didn't live by
the
sword.
But he died by the sword, didn't he?
Well, see...
Man, I'm asking a question.
Well, okay.
Did he die by the sword?
Well, he died.
Let's look at it the way it is.
He died out of an act of hatred.
Well,
okay.
let's say what it is. When Malcolm X died,
out of an act of hatred,
Martin Luther King made the statement that he that liveth by the sword shall perish by the sword. But then, and that happened when Malcolm X died in around 65. By 67, we found out that Martin Luther King was assassinated. Now, did he live by the sword? No. And there are many innocent people that die every day that did not live by the sword. There are little babies that get shot down every day and children that die and they did not live by the sword. So to say that you're dying by the sword because you live by the sword, that's not accurate because King himself, even according to your own admittance, did not live by the sword. But nevertheless, he died by the sword. But in the Book of Revelation, it says he that killeth by the sword must be killed by the sword. So this seems like an act of vengeance. It seems like the souls of the altar, according to the Revelation, the souls of the saints that was coming, crawling and crying from the altar for their blood to be avenged by them that dwell on the earth. But we're here talking about we love everybody. How can you love your mother, but you love the man that just raped her and brutalized her? The other day we had another preacher, General Kabaka Abbas. His brother was just getting mad at everybody that was marching and picking and standing up for General Kabaka because he thought this man was going to give him justice. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what they told him that made them think that they were going to be justice in that courtroom. But when he seen the reality of it, his brother just cried out and said and told the people, y'all will never learn, will you? He was angry. He was angry. The man that had been calm, that had been peaceful, now he was angry because he had been misled by this system to think that he was going to have some justice for his brother. And he seen that this man's system is corrupt and there is none. Now, you would be singing a different song if somebody did or you had been murdered. Anybody can say, I believe in loving everyone until their mother or father have been murdered, until their son and daughter have been brutalized or raped. Anybody can sing that song, but let it come to you. Ask Brother General Kabaka's brother how he feel today, because I seen him on TV and he was totally a different man than he was when he was fussing at the people that were demonstrating in behalf of his brother.
Greater Cincinnati, there's nothing new underneath the sun. It's a terrible tragedy what has happened to Kabaka. It's a great loss. It's a great loss to what has happened to.
Oh, they all know that.
To Dr. King. Let me finish.
Yes.
We're born and we die. No one knows how we shall depart. Now, I'm looking for some solutions, Greater Cincinnati, and I'm going to give you some solutions. I don't get into a debate thing. We have babies that are born, they die for whatever reason. We have elderly people, they die for whatever reason. So what we realize is that the Most High is the ultimate. He creates life and he takes it. Okay. That I know for certain. The key, Greater Cincinnati, are we going to I mean, we should stand for right. We should question. We should challenge. But there's an evil spirit greater than Cincinnati, and there's a spirit of love. I asked the question, what spirit are we going to come in? The same thing happened back in 65. I'm from Selma, Alabama. There were Jimmie Lee Jackson was murdered.
I'm going to go to my board.
Okay.
Before you get into about Jimmie Lee Jackson, I want you to come on that so we can go to some other people.
The bottom line is, yeah, is that I don't agree with murder, period. There's nothing new underneath the sun. I'm not surprised of the verdict. It's because if you read scripture, we're not going to get the answer from a fleshly standpoint. It's a spiritual answer that we're getting. God is trying us as His children. You know, how are we going to take this thing? Are we going to convert to evil on it, or we're going to convert to good?
All right, I appreciate that. And he left a good ultimatum. What are we going to do? We can result to evil and good. It's just that some of us don't define evil and good as the same thing. A lot of times we think evil is good and good is evil. You never know until you know the Most High and His laws, because a lot of people are calling evil good and they're calling good evil. But let's go to our board, to some of our brothers and sisters, because we filled up. We want to go right to Sister Mary. Then we go into Brother Michael Riley, then Sister Olisa, then Brother Donnie. But right now, Sister Mary. Yes.
Shalom, Moray.
Shalom.
Shalom to your guests. I want to thank you first, Moray, for staying consistent and staying humble to help us grow and develop up out of this condition of deceit that we're in. And that's so important. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The brother, you know, I want to say it's the thing I was going to say last week to some point applies this week. And brother, I want you to humble your heart. Well, humble your mind, because the heart is just a muscle that pumps blood. Humble your mind. And we refuse to be humble when we get at a point when we stumble. We need to get understanding. And, brother, I say humble yourself and really study. Don't let that ego get you. Don't let it get you. You must humble yourself to what you don't know and really study. And with that, I'll say in Matthew 19:4-5, because on my way home, Moray, I heard the brother stumbling reference to J.C. being God, stumbling at that point and saying, you know, I don't know and I will study. That's humbling. But in Matthew 19:4-5, if your reader could read, that is very short.
Yes.
And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that which he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
I say that to say, that does not mean that they're one person. They're still two people. But it's the mindset and the conditioning, you know, the process of learning. That also says in Genesis 2:24 about a man leaving the father and becoming one in body with wife. You know, we must get a better understanding and stop rejecting truth that's put before us. JC is not Yah. JC is not God, brother, and love has a very extended meaning. It's not just sweet and kind. And if you refer to the beginning of Scripture, you said there's nothing new under the sun, which means the original Scripture, as called the old Scripture, you always see individuals going back to the original, because you can't pull up without going back on the foundation. Understand that. Those, and I'll leave with this, Moray Alicia, those disciples, understand, they were following JC. When they were following him, they saw things that they even questioned in the midst over and over. So how is it now that he's gone away, they're going to all of a sudden become so wise? They put themselves above, and you just said, I don't agree. It's not about you. Humble yourself to what is written. Get out of your emotional state. And with that, I say all praise is due to the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right, we're going to go to Sister Olisa. Yes?
Good evening. Thank you. I want to be very brief. People do need to humble themselves and learn to say when they don't know. And I'm just going to say this, that there is a time and a season for every purpose under the sun, and there is a time to get loose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. But there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, but there's damn sure a time to kill. And that don't mean that it's a time to be loving and hugging up on somebody when they have killed you unjustly, or have killed your folks unjustly, and that is coming from a Christian brother, Black Power.
Hallelujah. I'm glad you said that, because the same Bible says there's a time to love and a time to hate. The same Bible said there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. And we have to know how to discern the difference. We have to know. Right now, we're going to Brother Michael Riley. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How are you doing today?
Excellent, brother.
One of the things I want to first start off and say, we will have a memorial service September the 9th at the Pemmy Street Neighborhood House at 2 o'clock for Kabak Abra. Since his family did not want us to have a memorial service, we will have one for him.
And that'll be September?
The 9th.
The 9th.
At 2 o'clock.
Night.
The 9th of September.
2 p.m.
Right.
At where?
Finley Street Neighborhood House, downtown, where he grew up at, where he was at. And we ask in all people who have love in their heart for Kabaka, not these buck-dancing Negroes who be on Sambo Radio, not them. We ask from people who love their black people. We not ask for nobody to come down there and buck-dance. We don't want that. We're going to hear the real truth of what happened to Kabaka. And we want people who love Kabaka to come down. If they have something to say, then come down and say it. Also, one of the things that people don't understand at the trial, before the trial ever got started, Judge Norm Nabel was calling Howard George like he was good buddy. Then Ken Lawson, Joe Diaz's lap dog, told him, no, you got the wrong one. This is Howard. So you knew it was a setup from day one. Number two, the prosecutor's character subpoenaed nobody who had any relationship to the
Now, let me say this to you as you talk. Keep talking. Say your truth.
Right.
But don't call the names of anybody to work for the station if you don't want the names flashed off.
Okay.
You just might say the lawyer, but don't call the names because the names will be flashed off.
Okay. That's
since they work for the station.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. But like I said, the lapdog of Joe Dieter. Is that okay? One of the questions that we understand lately, why is this lapdog being sued by the Internal Revenue? Why is he in debt $660,000? Most people who are in debt like that go to jail. Why hasn't this person went to jail for income tax evasion? On the Internet, they say a lot of things of why the money went. I don't know. But one of the things they said is it has to do with drugs, has to do with women. That's what's said on the Internet. Also, we understand what's going on here. Why certain things can happen in this town and others cannot. Why so many people get convicted of, certain crimes and get away with it. These are things we got to understand. Is black life meaningless? Only white life counts? So we got to be aware of what's going on. And don't be ashamed to stand up for the truth. That's all I can say.
All right.
Because it could happen to any one of us.
Yes, it can.
And that means anybody can walk up to you and blow your brains out and nothing will be done. They can claim self-defense.
One of these sold-out, bought-out judges will say, well, you provoked him. You might have said something the other day.
Right.
And call it manslaughter.
And also,
put them on parole. Don't even give no time. You're
and
right.
Also, the people who vote, whatever you do, don't put an arm label back in. Whatever you do, if you vote, and don't put Joe Dieters back in. I don't care if they run Clarabelle the Clown. Go against him. One of the things, like I said before, brothers, stand up. And also one thing, we was down at there Wednesday after the trial was over with, and Nate Livingston, I can mention his name, can I? He came out and threatened J.R. Nate, I know you're listening. Don't do it again. Okay? That's all I can say about that. And we'll be at memorial service September the 9th at 2 o'clock at Finley Street Neighborhood House. Thank you.
All right.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now we are going right to Brother Lonnie. Brother Lonnie.
Shalom, my brother.
Shalom.
I just have a short comment about this murderer, Bailey. This was already planned out. You know, he's been down to the brother Kabaka's been down to City Hall, stating his claim, what he didn't like and what the black people of Cincinnati didn't like. So this was all planned out. Because if it had been in any other city with the unbiased judicial system, he would have been found guilty of.
And to show you how ridiculous, sorry for interrupting you, but I neglected to mention the fact that even though General Kabaka Aba had a protection order for him to stay away from him.
Yes.
NATO acquitted Biddy of violating the protection order.
Sure.
Here's a man that was a criminal, had a gun, and drew it on a man. He went and had a restraining order.
Yes, sir.
And they dropped all the charges, even the charge of violating that. They dropped it.
Yes, sir, Brother Elisha. This before the so-called trial even went into effect. Some brothers and I were sitting talking about the very same thing. It was already mapped out. They wanted to get rid of this brother in the first place, so they used this brother. You know, and say, well, look here.
You use the word you do very this, lightly now.
You do this, and we'll make sure that everything else will be covered up. You know, it was pure and simple murder.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Yes, sir. And I have the deepest sympathy for the Kabaka's family, and I hope the Most High have blessings upon his soul.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Elisha.
You're certainly welcome. Right now, we're going to Sister Regina. Sister Regina.
Shalom, Maura Alicia.
Shalom.
How are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
Oh, I'm blessed. I was blessed to see my 49th Earth Day this past 22nd of this week. So I feel mighty blessed.
All
and
right.
I was blessed to be in the congregation today. But I have a few, I'm going to make it short and sweet. The sister came out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 3 and verse 8, and I'm just wondering how does the brother feel about that, and how does, was this love when the mighty Yah in Genesis 6 destroyed the earth? Was that love, or was that hate that the Father had for the corruption of the people at that time? And when earlier call...
Very, very good question. Very
and
good question.
You had an earlier caller, Sister June, I do believe, that was saying about what we need to do. Well, what people, I would like our people to realize, because you tell us in the congregation all the time, you and the other Morays, Moray Ezekiel, and Moray Dan, about Deuteronomy 28. And if your listeners would go to 28 and 15 and read that to the end, they would understand why we go through some of the things that we go through. And we as a nation, in this nation, does this man with you, does he think that we're humbling ourselves? Because I don't see that we are. And I can say for a fact myself, until we do humble ourselves as a nation. We're going to keep going through what Deuteronomy says, and I have no choice but to believe the word of Almighty Yah. So all the voting, protesting, hooting, hollering, you know, whatever, you cannot expect justice from an unjust system. You're not going to get it. It's like oil and water. It will never mix. But people that think they're going to get it, if they went to the word of the mighty Yah, they believe when the Father said, let there be light, that the sun is still shining. So why don't they accept Deuteronomy 28, 15 through the end? Why don't they accept that, Maureen Alicia? And I'd just like to hear what your guest has to say about that. He can accept that the sun is still shining. It ain't missed a day yet, but they will not. They refuse to accept what Deuteronomy 28:15 to the end say. Why is that? If that could be answered for
me. I'll ask you real quick. First of all, the sister want to know, if God is just a God of love, then why did he destroy the world with a flood, in your opinion?
Well, my sister, once again, you know, that's, you know, God can do that. I'm not God. He's the Most High. He can hate. You know, if that's what an individual chose to do, I mean, that's them. But I'm not.
Are we not made in His image?
Well, you're made in His image, in His likeness. But you know, he doesn't compel me to hate.
But didn't He say in Ecclesiastes 3:3 is a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build? Didn't He say in Ecclesiastes 3:7 a time to verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate? Did not mighty Yah say these words? So if He said that, why can't I obey Him?
If it's in Scripture, my sister, then it was said. Okay, if it's in Scripture, then it was said. But you know what we're dealing with. You know, I always deal with forgiveness. I don't hold a hatred in my heart. I don't like what has done, but am I going to dwell and let hate become a part of manifesting? See, I hadn't always done things right myself. See, that's where I can forgive. I think we're missing on the word forgiveness. I think we want to continue to dwell in what has happened. It has to be a time to where we're going to have to forgive in order to move on.
What she's asking, if it was not a time to hate, why would the Creator say that it is a time to love and a time of hate?
Thank you, Maureen.
In other words, she's asking you, when is the time to hate, brother?
Yes.
We all want to know
when is the proper time to hate.
Yes.
It's when they're going against the word of God.
Is murdering somebody, aren't they going against His word?
Well, I mean, the Bible quickly says. I can't understand that. I don't see why a person would want to murder another person. That is an evil.
What I'm asking you, you said a time of hate is when a person is going against the Almighty's word, and I'm saying when someone murders someone, isn't that going against His word?
Yes, it's going against the commandment.
So you're saying that's the time to hate.
Well, I'm not saying as an individual.
That's what you did say.
No, I'm not saying as an individual.
Well,
that's the time to hate.
All right.
I just wanted to bring that out, Maureen, because he was talking love. Not that I'm up.
I understood what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate you, Maureen. Right. Love you. See you next Shabbat.
Shalom. Right now, we're going to Moshe Ben-Yah. Yes. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, Brother Alicia. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Okay, Brother Alicia, I just had a scripture in Jeremiah that I wanted you to read. It's the 16th chapter.
Okay.
1 through 12.
I don't know if I got time to read all those verses. Is that one in particular you want me to zero in on?
Let me see. Okay. Read on 1 through 4.
All right, go ahead.
The word of Yahweh came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons nor daughters in this place. For thus saith Yahweh, concerning the sons and daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried. but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth.
Go ahead, read it a little further. We got a minute. Go ahead.
For thus saith Yahweh, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith Yah, even loving kindness and tender mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation, to drink, for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting, to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I will call to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom and the voice of the bride. And this shall come to pass when thou shalt show these people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh our Elohim? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yahweh, and have walked after other deities, and served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there ye shall serve other deities day and night, where I will not show you favor.
Okay. Yes, sir, we ready for you.
Yeah, Brother Lisa, I was just trying to say that this land that we live in is not our land. This is the most evil land in the world. Now, everything that this land stands for goes against the mighty Yah. When they said justice, justice means just for them. It's not justice for our people anyway. For one thing, Yahweh said that he put us into captivity not to rise up, but to turn back to him. Our people are looking for the answers, and the answer is Yah, Brother Leisha. No one else. Mm-hmm. It's not JC. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not none of these. Our people are searching for somewhere, some other deity when Yah is the answer.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you calling, brother.
Shalom, Brother Alicia.
Were you finna say something else before I go?
Well, that's what I was trying to say. You know, you got the minister sitting there, but he don't know y'all either. If he's praising JC, he doesn't know y'all either. He needs to know the difference between scripture and writings. For one thing, the New Testament is writings. If he's a minister and he knows anything about the New Testament, I believe it's in John 1 where the Greek word logos, look up the Greek word logos and it'll tell you where the New Testament came from. It's not our book. Our book is only the Holy Torah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's confused and he's saying love your enemies and people that persecute you. My thing is, Brother Misha, if people don't love Yah and want to serve Yah, I can't love them, Brother Misha. I feel no pity.
Okay. All right.
That's all I had to say, Brother Misha.
And I appreciate you calling.
Yahweh McKean, brother.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. All right. If anyone wants to join us in our discussion with Brother James Abram dealing with the subject of murder, then please call us at area code 513-749-1230. Right now, we're going to Brother Levi. Brother Levi.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You sound very loud and clear, brother. You're coming out clear. A very good program. I was listening, and I wanted to share something in Acts, the 5th chapter, if possible.
Yes, sir.
And just to address, you know, for the Christians out there who believe that, you know, that they recognize murdering is wrong and the things that are done in this earth, But even their own book, it does show that, you know, they were proactive in, they didn't really truly believe in turning the other cheek. In this Acts, the fifth chapter, if one on their own time could read the first to the 10th verse, I'm going to read the 8th to the 9th verse, where it says, and Peter answered her, this is the story with Ananias and his wife. It said they sold a possession and they kept some of the money. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. They sold some land, but they kept some of the money. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and should carry thee out. And then it says in the 10th verse, then she fell down straightway at his feet. They were proactive in rendering judgment to people. And we live in a world where it must be. Sometimes we don't have the power to convict these same people who do not convict properly and who do not render justice when justice should be done. And it is true that we're in a society and in a world today where justice is not being done. Right. But we must acknowledge that justice should be done. And yes. That's just sometimes you don't hear that.
But see, the point it is, our people thank the same man that teach them.
Yes.
The same man that put them in the back of the bus. The same man that made them the last hired in the first fire.
Yes.
The same one man that put them in the back of the book and told them won't read the front of the book, only go by the front of the book.
Yeah.
The same man that gave them their God. There are people under the erroneous opinion that the white man would give them a God that would save them.
Mm.
If he thought the God that he introduced to them would save them, he would have never introduced them to that God in the first place.
Yes.
He'd know the God that represents Christianity as a God that tells them to love him. So that's the reason he separates religion from state.
Yeah.
Religion is totally separated from his politics. Nobody in the Senate or in the Congress going there talking about what the Bible said, because it's a total separation of state and religion.
Right.
They know that they can't live by their religion because they're hypocrites.
Yes.
They don't want nobody telling them that they're supposed to turn the other cheek. They're not going to vote for a man to be president that's not for a strong defense.
Yeah.
They're not going to vote for a man that's not for having many armaments of warfare to defend them.
Yes.
They only use religion on Sunday.
Right.
And they got us fooled to think that we the only people that's running around here talking about love, love.
Right.
The white man never had a white hero that perpetuated love.
That's true.
Every hero that the white man ever had was a man of violence. There is never in the history of the world a white hero that the white race as a whole recognized that represent them that was a man of love that taught to turn the other cheek and love your enemies.
Yeah.
They don't buy that. They let us buy it. They give this to us. See, every black nation they ever colonized, they gave them a strong dose of Christianity. That took the spears and swords out of their hand, and then they gave them a strong dose of Christianity and made little docile creatures out of them.
Yes.
And now they all run around here just talking about love.
Yeah.
Well, the same Bible that talks about love also talks about there's a time to hate, but they don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Because they're not able to discern the one from the other.
Yes.
Now, any man to love what happened the other day would have to be a fool.
Yeah.
To love violence, to love innocent life being taken by a wicked man in a cold-blooded murder, any man that loves that, white or black, is a very evil and wicked and foolish man.
Yes.
But I appreciate your calling, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right now, we're going to Brother David. Brother David, shalom.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Shalom.
I'd like to give all praise to Yahweh, saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I want to say this real fast.
Don't say it real fast. We might miss it.
Yes.
Take your time and say it.
Yes, sir. I want to say this. That just like as he brought out, I think it was in Luke 8 or John 8, one of the two, and where it speaks of J.C. stating to love your enemies, that's the major problem, and that's why we saw Kabaka die. Because what has happened is J.C. teaches us, and our people have been taught by the Christian doctrine, to love or to hate our enemies. I mean, to love our enemies. But then J.C. teaches to hate your brother, your sister, your mother, and even your own self. And that's what I got tonight out of the brother there tonight, is that as soon as the situation with Kabaka came up, he went straight to love your enemies. He went straight to the location that tells you to hate basically yourself. He's telling us to love our enemies even though they just murdered us. They just murdered one of our people. He told us to love them. And that's not consistent with the Almighty's word at all. And that's basically what I want to say, and that Kabaka did not die in vain, because what's happening now, like you said, proves everything you've been teaching and proves everything that he was saying his whole life. So praise Yah. And with that, I say hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah. What do you think about that, Brother Abram? He said that you were teaching that Christ said, love your enemies, but he said, didn't the same Christ say, hate your mother and father?
In a sense, he says you have to forsake your mother and father, and that's dealing with when you want to be an ambassador for Christ, when you want to deal with relationship, that's
So he said forsake your enemies. Well, he didn't say hate your brother and your sister.
Well,
let me read it for you, because I think he did
go ahead,
say that.
Go ahead.
I
go
might
ahead
be mistaken, but if we go to the book of Luke, the 14th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read the 25th and 26th verse?
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Now, Brother Abram's right there, what you said was not there. Right here, the same Christ that said, love your enemy, Brother David pointed out that the same Christ said, hate your mother and your father and your sister and your brother.
What's being said is you have to deny.
No, I said hate.
Well, hate, you have to hate
but right
self.
Now, our time is going off. And I appreciate you. You don't have a chance to address that because our time is going off. And we appreciate everybody calling in and participating in our discussion. And Brother Abrams, you said you will be with us next week.
Most definitely.
He said he'll be back with us next week, our beloved brother, and we can continue this conversation as we search for the truth. But right now, our time is coming out, going out. But I want to tell you that if anybody have any questions, you can call me at 226-7110. You can listen to our program every night, every day on www.houseofisrael.org. House of Israel, Israel spelled YISRAEL. And if anybody want to join us for worship, 1664 California Avenue in Bond Hill. And until next week, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Shalom.
1230 WTBC Cincinnati. The Buzz.
Caring for Ernesto, I'm Deirdre Bryant.
1230
the tropical storm
WTBC
in the Caribbean
Cincinnati.
Is moving toward Jamaica,
the
and
Buzz.
Forecasters say it could reach hurricane strength by Monday. It's expected to move into the Gulf of Mexico in a few days. The Department of Homeland Security says Ernesto could grow to a Category 3 and threaten New Orleans.